I can't come out here and shiver you up to talk to me because I can't leave the microphone. So I can't intimidate you. But what were you expecting when you came to church this evening? To be blessed?
Encouraged?
Challenged? What? Sorry? To hear from the Lord. Because if you are going to be blessed and challenged and encouraged, it's not going to come from me. It's going to come from God. Whatever you thought might happen tonight, well, we don't know, do we? We don't know what God is going to do this evening in our hearts, in our lives, in this fellowship. And I am absolutely certain that the disciples didn't know what would happen to them in that room on that day of Pentecost. Jesus had simply said, go and wait, and the Spirit will come. But what did that mean for them? They were gathered together. At the ascension, Jesus had instructed them to go to Jerusalem and wait. And they had done that. They had elected Matthias as the 12th disciple, and they were waiting. And as they waited, suddenly from heaven there came the sound of a rushing violent wind and tongues of fire. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I admit my expectation is quite low because I'm probably not expecting a rushing wind and tongues of fire this evening. Maybe I should. Maybe we should. But we certainly can expect that as we are here, God will touch us. If our hearts are open and ready. And the disciples by this time were gathered together wanting something to happen. Ready for something to happen. And it did. They were together. And God acted as he had promised. The Spirit came. At ascension, Jesus had promised that the Spirit would come. But what would that mean for them? Did they expect to be propelled outside into the streets? I don't know what they expected. But the Spirit came and touched them. And they felt different. There are times that God has made me feel different, has changed things for me, has made things better and more exciting. And I can look back and I can either say, well, that was a great coincidence. And if that hadn't happened, then that wouldn't have happened. And that great coincidence is happening along here. And then I look back and I think, no, this was God. Gently and slowly leading me to where I need to be. And as the Spirit speaks to each of us, we don't know where he's going to lead us. We don't know what he's going to do. I had an email from someone a couple of days ago, and she said, "My husband has decided he wants to retire from retirement. He had too much to do, had taken on too much." And she said, "God just won't stop asking him to do things because he says yes to everything. But God won't let us retire. He might let us slow down and sit down, but we can never retire from his service. We can never retire from prayer and from love. We can never retire in the service of God. It is never too late." And Jesus knew these disciples. Remember, they weren't old people. They were young men and ready for anything. And we know from Peter and from Paul that they simply went on and on and on in the service of God. The Spirit came and propelled them into a new way of life that they embraced with joy and enthusiasm, and that gave them great joy and pain and heartache and fun. They were gathered together and the Spirit came, and there was an extravagance of blessing. At Ascension, which you may or may not have celebrated last week, we read that Jesus blessed them as he left them. He didn't bless them and then go. He was blessing them as he disappeared from their sight. And for me, that's really important, because that says to me that actually Jesus never stops blessing. And as he left them, he promised them the gifts they needed. And suddenly, at Pentecost, they got those gifts. But what about now? And I'm sorry, Jeff, I changed what I was going to do early this morning, and I've put in an extra reading that you haven't got. So you will have to get your Bibles out when you go home and read on just a little way, because this is the bit of Pentecost, really, for you and for me. When the people heard all that Peter had said, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you too will receive the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away." And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourself from this corrupt generation." So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people were added to their number. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayers. So that's the bit for us. That's the kind of, what must we do? And what is this coming of the Holy Spirit that came to the disciples? What is that for us? Well, Peter's very certain, because this promise is for your children, for those who are far away. This promise is for us as much as for anyone else. And as they came to Jesus, as they came and they gave their lives, as they were baptized, as they found their sins forgiven, this group of believers got bigger and bigger. 3,000 in one day. Well, I think that's a little more than the population of West Camel. But we are still adding to the company of Jesus those who believe and who put their trust in him. When I was confirmed in the Methodist Church a very long time ago, my godmother, who I've lost touch with now, and I have no idea how you find godmothers, she gave me a little book of daily devotions called Daily Light. You may know it. And she wrote a passage or a verse at the front of the book. And over the years, that has become more and more important to me. And it is verse 42 of Acts chapter 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayers. This Holy Spirit is for us, just as much as it was for the early disciples. But so is the teaching and the responsibility that those, that the early church, that the disciples put onto us, that we do need to devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching, to the teaching of Jesus. We do need to spend time with our Lord, reading his word, learning his promises and accepting his instruction. And we need to spend time in fellowship, to come together. I used to preach at a really lovely little chapel out in the, I don't know, Wiltshire-ish area, I think. Tiny chapel, quite a few people, but it was one of these, it was an independent chapel, and it did nothing except have Sunday services. And lots of people came, most of them turned up at 6:02. And at the end of the service, and I have to say, I used to drag out the benediction as long as I could, because the moment you said amen, they were all out of the door. They went home. Nobody stayed to share with each other. There was no time to talk beforehand, and they all made a run for it. You couldn't get from the pulpit to the door and catch everybody, because they'd gone before you. And that used to make me so sad, because they were missing out on something that is so important for you and I. And that is the fellowship of believers. If we're going to go out into the world and or out into wherever you live and share the message of Jesus, we need to go with the blessing and the love and the encouragement and the support of other Christians. And the only way people are going to know what we're doing, where we're going, and what we've done, is by sharing fellowship. And we need to do that as a community of believers. And here we are told we have to devote ourselves to fellowship, but also to breaking bread together. In the early church, that didn't just mean a once every however many weeks communion service. It meant sharing meals together. But as we read this, we think of breaking bread as sharing communion and sharing that intimate meal with Jesus, and we need to do it. So teaching, fellowship, breaking bread, and prayers. We need to pray together. For each other and with each other, in the company of each other, and on our own. We need to simply spend time with our Lord. So the disciples had received the Holy Spirit. They'd gone out into the crowd and they'd shared the good news. And the crowd had been encouraging and understanding and utterly bemused. And the disciples had spoken in very strange languages that they didn't understand, but languages that the people there did. And they'd told the story. Sometimes telling the story means we have to move away from the language that perhaps we use together. I said to people this morning, or people said, "Are you preaching this evening?" I said, "Yes, I'm going to West Camel." "Where's West Camel?" So I tried to think, well, where is West Camel? Well, it's near, and I got to the, well, actually, if you go down the 303, there's a bakery that has plastic bread outside. Okay? Well, it's sort of there. And everybody knows the plastic bread. So you have to tell something that's not quite real in order to get them where they want to be and where you want them to be. And that's what we need to do. Perhaps sometimes we have to talk about plastic bread to get to Jesus. Or talk about all sorts of other things in order to get to the real message that we have. I said to someone the other day, I said, "Oh, it's Aldersgate Day," because I'm an ex-Methodist. And they looked at me as if, "What on earth are you on about?" Which was perfectly reasonable because they weren't Methodists. So I had to explain and actually thought I should have started with, it's the day that John Wesley was converted and received the Spirit. And then they would have got it. But the shorthand is it's Aldersgate Day. We need to share the message of Jesus in words that people understand and in ways that people understand. And here we're told how. To go out and speak the language of the crowd. Because we devote ourselves to the teaching of Jesus, to the fellowship of each other, to sharing the meal with Jesus, and to praying. That comes first. And sharing the message comes later. Let's give it a try and see where we are by this time next year when Pentecost comes around again. Let's give it a try and see what God has done.